Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast. Shout out to the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might have accidentally found the show. You've made it to the right place if you want to get personal about the news and the culture. Please enjoy this mini episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And we do it every week here on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. It's a live radio show, but it's also a podcast that folks can enjoy throughout the week if you're not able to tune in live every Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Shout out to all the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might accidentally have found the show. As always, you can come along on the journey today at area code 212-650. That's area code 212-650-6903. For those who want to keep it old school and talk to me. And for those who are part of the new school and also like to watch, you can go to facebooklive.com/Gregory Neesmith and you can comment and we can interact throughout the show that way. Your host, as always, to take you on the journey is Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, also in the spreading special stuff, and founder of the Underdog Stuff Company, and a proud Philadelphian now calling Harlem World home. And I'll be joined in studio by Asha Davis, who is on her way from BK, heading uptown to Harlem. Today's episode is called And the winner is. Because there were some elections that happened this week. And a whole bunch of other stuff that happened in the news and the culture. But definitely very top of mind for me. And I'm sure a lot of you were some of the recent elections that happened across the country. And some caught our attention nationally. I also wanted to talk a little bit about politics, along with some other topics throughout the show today, because I'm still in a very reflective mood because it's now been a year of the Gregory Neesmith Show. This whole journey, this whole experience started in November of 2016. There was a test run show on November 8th, which was the election. Then there was a second test run show on November 15th of last year that was called Election Reflections, which, by the way, for those who heard last month, or I should say for those who were listening last week, you know that every Thursday, in the spirit of Throwback Thursday and in the spirit of making sure we celebrate and reflect on a year of the Gregory Neesmith Show, I will be releasing the first four episodes on every Throwback Thursday of this November. So this past Thursday, released the original test run episode called Election Night 2016. And then this Thursday, we'll be releasing the second ever episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show, which was called Election Reflections. And this time last year, if you leaned a little bit to the left, which means you were likely a Democrat, or maybe you were a Democrat socialist, which is the new buzz term sometimes used by Mr. Bernie Sanders, you were just a little bit stunned, in shock, still reeling from the fact that the 45th president of the United States became one Donald Trump. And so, a year later, there are some election reflections that are going on in people's hearts, minds. And this year, it's likely that if you lean a little bit to the right, you might be feeling a little disappointed or in shock. And we'll talk about that today, too. Also, in the spirit of "and the winner is," we'll talk about some of the winners and losers in the recent races that happened We'll talk about the win, which I believe is sometimes just getting in action, which is what happened a year ago when we started the Gravy and Nisma show. And also we'll talk a little sports today because I love sports. And there's a couple of topics that definitely lend themselves to the whole idea of who won and who lost. But first, before we get into the meat of the show, I do want to talk about a couple stories that caught my attention this week that actually aren't about winners or losers, because in the end, there likely aren't any real winners or losers in these first couple stories. But I do want to acknowledge that there's been a lot of discussion recently about a gentleman named Roy Moore, who is a candidate for becoming a senator in Alabama as they run, I believe, a special election to replace the seat once held by the current attorney general, who is Jeff Sessions, who was, prior to becoming attorney general, was the senator from Alabama. And there's been allegations of Roy Moore having sexually harassed and inappropriate behavior with teenagers, ranging from reportedly the ages of 14 to 19. And that when he was in his 30s, that he was having inappropriate behavior with some of these teenagers. And now years later, it has come to the surface that that happened. And there's been a lot of discussion of, is it true? Is it not? Should he run? Should he stay in the race? If you've heard the story, but you haven't heard from Roy Moore, I did want to play at least one clip where he attempts to address some of these allegations.
Mother, Gray, in particular.
At that time in your life, let me ask you this. You do remember these girls. Would it be unusual for you as a 32-year-old guy to have dated a woman as young as 17? That'd be a, what, 15-year difference, or a girl 18. Do you remember dating girls that young at that time?
Not generally, no. If I did, you know, I'm not going to dispute anything, but I don't remember anything like that.
But you don't specifically remember having any girlfriend that was in her late teens even at that time?
I don't remember that, and I don't remember ever dating any girl without the permission of her mother. And I think in her statement, she said that her mother actually encouraged her to go out with me.
Well, actually, there was one, a 14-year-old that was working as a Santa helper when you approached her, and when she was 16, and her mother forbade her. That was the third case. Let me go back to Korfman for a minute here, because this is the issue here. She gives specific instances where the first day you met her at the courthouse, you got her phone number.
That's Roy Moore. Kinda denying the allegations. Underdogs, let me know. Should Roy Moore get out of the race? Supposedly we live in a country where folks are innocent until proven guilty. But several women have come out and made allegations about his inappropriate behavior when he was in his 30s, when interacting with teenage girls. We still don't know what is going to happen. Should this even be a political matter? You know, I get worked up when things that are more about ethics and morality somehow start to become partisan and split down party lines. It seems that there's some Republicans who want to defend him and there's some Democrats who want to attack him. Underdogs, let me know what you think. What should we do when something like this comes up? Because it's been coming up a lot. Obviously, the Me Too movement has been in the forefront of the news. Sexual harassment and sexual assault of women and girls is not new. but it does seem to be even more top of mind recently in the news cycle. Is this a big moment in history? Do you think that things are going to change? Because as we've talked about many times before, and this show is for underdogs, you know, my point of view has always been two of the biggest underdog groups in our country are, one, kids, because kids come into this world with a fresh start, a clean slate, and at the same time also dependent on the adults in their lives for the first, let's call it, 18 years of their life. And sometimes as kids, we end up in some real challenging situations. And so I often want to figure out ways to fight for kids to rediscover how special they are. We've also talked about one of the other largest underdog groups in the country and also in the world are women, who seem to be constantly being under attack from men, socially, physically, economically. Is this a turning point? Should Roy Moore get out of the race? What should happen to our politicians who get brought into the daylight, some of their transgressions they've had related to sexual assault and sexual harassment of women? Also happening this week related to this topic, the Senate passed a bill that will make sexual harassment and sexual assault training mandatory for all those in the Senate. I will say I almost thought that this was somehow fake news, because you mean to tell me in 2017 there's an organization as big, as prominent as the United States Senate, and they don't have rules or regulations or training related to how to interact with each other in the workplace with something that we know is so pervasive as sexual harassment and sexual assault, especially in the workplace? But that happened this week. Folks like Louis C.K., who's a comedian, it was brought to light that he sexually harassed women that he worked with. Things are coming to light. Is this finally the big pivot, the big change where women can be safe again and no longer be underdogs related to being under attack from men? Socially, sexually, physically, economically. Let me know. I wanted to at least bring that up, given the fact that it's been in the news, and I'm sure on the mind of a lot of you underdogs out there. With that, we're going to take a quick break and then come back with the show and get into some things going on in the news and the culture in terms of election reflections, and also reflecting on the fact that this is the anniversary month of the Gregory Neesmith Show. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. And also, we'll, as always, take your comments and phone calls after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And there's someone else in the studio now, especially for those who might be watching on Facebook Live at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. You've noticed someone else has stepped into the building.
Oh, man. Thank goodness for the New York City subway system, man. Brooklyn to BK, BK to Harlem. Holla.
And for those who don't know, and I'm sure most of them do, because she's a lady that needs no introduction, but I'm going to say it just in case, because we might have new listeners today, which is, you just heard the voice of Asha Davis, award-winning advertising executive, comedy writer, and proud Canadian.
Canadian, Torontonian, all that jazz.
Traveling all over the New York City boroughs.
Boroughs and boroughs and boroughs.
Yes. And shout out to all the underdogs and my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might come along for the ride.
Right.
Who have shown up today, and especially shout out to Keon, who has been posting a couple messages on the Facebook Live, and he is live from Cali.
From California.
Yeah, shout out to the left coast and the west coast. And he was making a comment in reference to some of the unfortunately very pervasive sexual assault and sexual harassment that, while we know it's not new in our society, it has seemed to have been very top of mind lately in the news and in our society. And we were talking about Roy Moore, Louis C.K., and Keon made a comment about the Roy Moore clip that I played in terms of Roy Moore attempting to kind of deny the allegations.
He said, I don't remember. I mean, it was 40 years ago, but still.
Yeah. And I think I heard a politician put it best. An actual Republican said this, I think, when someone said, do you think Roy Moore should get out? Because in the U.S., get out the election. In the U.S., we have the presumption that people are innocent until proven guilty. But as this senator said, he goes, the allegations seem to be more believable than the denial.
I mean, I tend to concur.
And so with that, I think Roy Moore might have to step to the side. And obviously our condolences and to the women who were impacted by something that happened years ago and that they've seems like been living with for a long time. And now it has been finally reported and alleged to be brought to light. And then also we mentioned before you got here that there's been a lot going on related to things coming out to light. And one in the comedic space, entertainment space. And I'm sure you might have at least some reflections or perspective, because Louis C.K. was alleged of sexual harassment of some women that he worked with. I believe at least five women. And he issued an apology. And it's been, again, it seems like every day.
Well, I think what's different about the Louis C.K. situation here, at least for me, I mean, he is beloved as a comedian. He's the comedian's favorite comedian, right? And I mean, the people that, you know, he is accused the people that have sort of come forward with these allegations are also female comedians that looked up to him, revered him as someone in this space. And I think what's also interesting about this is that these are rumors that have been going on for years. You know, we're talking 5 to 10 years, and numerous times they've been essentially declared as rumors, you know, and Louis C.K.'s manager has gone on the record as denying them. And Louis C.K. in the past has said, you know, I'm not going to perpetuate these rumors. And then now all of a sudden he's coming out and saying, actually, everything is true. And he's apologizing for all the people that, you know, because it's not, you know, when someone cancels your show, when someone cancels your movie, I mean, it's not just you that's suffering. It's all of the production teams and all the staff and everybody that gets affected by it. And so he's lost a lot. And as a result of this, and for me, it's tough because I was a really, really big fan. And I've really been having a hard time with this one.
Yeah. And the question I've been asking the underdogs out there is this a pivotal moment? Is this the year we'll look back and we finally made a big change in this thing of men being on the attack and harassing and assaulting women, and that it no longer is something that will happen behind the scenes? It's no longer something that will be acceptable for men in power to prey on women, and in some of the cases like Roy Moore, on teenagers and girls. Is this the turning point? We thought Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas 25 years ago was the turning point. We thought Bill Clinton and the allegations of his sexual harassment and sexual assault and things like that would be the turning point. Got him elected to be president. We thought the turning point would be the Access Hollywood tapes.
Well,
and Donald Trump talking about potentially sexually assaulting women and allegations against him. And it still seems like up until now, things hadn't really changed.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. It's my obviously hope that this is the moment where everything does finally change.
It feels like essentially, it feels like it is. Anyways, it feels like at least, you know, people are feeling brave enough to actually speak up about these things, and people are getting checked at the very least.
Yes, that is very true.
But let's just hope this isn't like the whole quote unquote diversity thing where everybody has an initiative for 1 year and then we forget about it.
Yeah, I hope so. And speaking of that, the Senate passed a bill requiring sexual harassment training. It's 2017. I can't even believe that they didn't even have the training to begin with.
Why do you need to be trained to not harass people? Why? What? I've never had training. You've never had training, and you've never done this to someone.
I know, but they need training because they have certain rules where you go to arbitration, it stays secret, they pay out settlements. They're going to need some training because clearly the way they've been acting, it's been all wrong.
Well, you know what's funny? I actually saw something online the other day that's a little tip for how men can avoid getting themselves in these sexual harassment situations. You want to hear it?
I mean, yes. I mean, I've stayed out of those situations. But yes, for the underdogs out there, it can never be something we should always hear some refreshers.
So it's just a little fun tip, a little fun way to avoid putting yourself in a sticky situation. If you're in a professional situation with a female, just imagine she's The Rock. It's called The Rock Test. If you wouldn't do that to The Rock, don't do it to her.
I did hear that.
So if you wouldn't put your hand on The Rock's thigh in a certain type of conversation, don't do it to her.
Fair. And I'll build on that in my own unique way, which is underdogs. This is for men. This one's on us. We get to be the ones who stop doing this because we have been the ones who've been doing it. And so oftentimes folks want to pass the blame or look and see what this person did, that person did. No, this one's on men. Like, we need to do better and stop it.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
As the woman here.
And when in doubt, there's a rock thing you can do too, but it shouldn't even have to come to that. All right. Thank you for listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote: underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.